It's Nightside with Dan Ray on WBZ, Boston's News Radio.
Thanks very much, Nicole, and carrying on the theme that so often joins my show to Nicole's 8 o'clock broadcast, sports. I hope if you saw Bobby Orr today, you wished Bobby Orr happy birthday. Bobby Orr turned 75 years of age today. And if that doesn't make some of us baby boomers think twice, I don't know what will. So something magical about turning 75, and there certainly was something magical about Bobby Orr. Bobby Orr, who for 10 years dominated national hockey, the National Hockey League, and he also went on, I think, to become one of the true assets of this area. Just about everybody I know has a story about Bobby. Great guy who I am very proud to say that I've known him. Not a close friend by any stretch of the imagination, but a great, great gentleman, and what a great ambassador for hockey, as well as, in my mind, the greatest hockey player ever to lace him up, in my opinion. That specific request was made today by another defenseman from that era, who shall remain anonymous. If he's listening, he knows exactly who he is. But if you see Bobby tomorrow, wish him a happy belated birthday, 75 years young. Bobby will always be frozen in time, flying across the ice in that game back in 1970 as the Bruins won their first Stanley Cup in a long time, beating the St. Louis Blues, finishing them off in a four-game sweep in the finals of the Stanley Cup playoffs of the 69-70 season. Anyway, happy birthday, Bobby Orr. You're a gentleman and a scholar and a great human being, absolutely. So having said that, having gotten that on the record, which I'm glad I did, I also want to get on the record that today something really big happened. You know how that you have the every newscast you look at it, it's breaking news. Well, there was some breaking news at 5:24 this afternoon. Spring here in New England. Spring has sprung, and that means winter is now officially in our rearview mirror. Who knows what the early spring will bring us? One thing that we do know is that already the ticks are very active, and that's what we're going to talk about for a little while this morning, this evening, and hopefully for quite a while. My name is Dan Ray. I'm the host of Nightside, along with Rob Brooks, who is back in the control room, staffing the phones and getting ready for everything. And WBZ has taken notice of the ticks, the arrival of the ticks, as well as a specific warning from the CDC about just another disease to worry about. Let's play cut 47, please, Rob.
The latest report from the CDC analyzed cases of babesiosis, which is now said to be an endemic for every New England state. Previously, it was just Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. Now, Maine, Vermont, and New Hampshire have been added to the list from the CDC. Babesiosis has flu-like symptoms and can be even worse at times. The new research looked at cases across the country from 2011 through 2019. Climate change in New England certainly having an effect on the increase. There is no vaccine for babesiosis. Simple summertime protection like bug repellent is the recommendation to prevent it. Jim McKay, WBZ, Boston's News Radio.
All right, which of course brings me to one of our regular programs every spring. It's a little earlier this year. It's the first day of spring, welcoming back Tick Man Dan. I think there's no one in New England who battles ticks more on behalf of all of us than my friend Tick Man Dan. Tick Man Dan, welcome back to Nightside. Babesiosis, easy for you to say, right?
Right, Dan. And, you know, it is a pleasure. It's always great to be on your show. I think we're close to 4 or 5 years in a row now, and I hope that doesn't end, because I really enjoy talking with you and helping the listeners with some hopefully useful tick safety tips. And you are right. And I was glad you mentioned earlier that ticks are active, rather than saying tick season is almost on us, because we now know there's really no season. It never really ends. It never really begins. It just depends on where you are and what the weather's like. But
so
they
even,
are.
Saying, even in the dead of winter, they can still be active in the dead of winter? I did not realize that.
Well, they become less active, but if you have a day or two or three, preferably for them, of warm temperatures? Because, you know, New England temperatures aren't, you know, the what do they say? If you don't like the weather in New England, wait a minute.
Yeah.
And the time that I went out, one time I went out tick hunting in Metro West, and that time I got the most ticks I've ever found. I was picking them up at 40 to 50 an hour in the town of Weston. And those were just what was on my clothing. I didn't even have a flag, which is what we term our tool, our tick hunting tool, to you know, what we call it. And that was in February, I think about 3 years ago, when it was brutally cold, and then it warmed up into the 40s and 50s for about 3 or 4 days straight. And these adult deer ticks were going crazy. So they're not going to be out when it's 10 below or there's heavy snowpack. But the second they can get some warmer temperatures, they come out.
So let's talk about the history, because there are a lot of people who may be new to our audience who don't understand the history of ticks. Ticks are associated, we're talking about deer ticks, they're associated with Lyme disease. And many people say, or I believe, Lyme disease is so named because of East Lyme, Connecticut. Tell us that part of the story.
Well, yes, they discovered, or I wouldn't say discovered, because we now know that the Lyme bacteria, it's called Borrelia burgdorferi, which is the fancy name for the Lyme bug, has been around for a long time, but somehow it then got into the creatures like mice and ticks, and they actually pass this bacteria back and forth, and that's what allows a lot of the infection rates to increase. So the way I understand it is that some researchers from Yale University back in the 70s were sent down to Lyme, Connecticut, or Old Lyme, or, you know, that general area to investigate a huge increase in pediatric arthritis cases. And they made that connection through ticks. And, you know, this was common among these children, that they were getting bitten by ticks. So they started to study the ticks, and they discovered that the bacteria was present in a lot of these ticks. And from there, you know, through just natural means of spreading through wildlife and now climate change, we have ticks spreading further north and just in every direction now. And we also have more ticks, more types of ticks, and we have a lot more agents that can cause infection. And I mentioned to you before that our deer ticks, which is the worst of what we have up here in New England, can carry pathogens that can cause viral infection, bacterial infection, as well as parasitic infection. And that's the troubling thing about them. It's not just one thing on a tick. And the parasite, which is carried in a tick, can cause this babesiosis, or from the parasite itself is called babesia.
This is frightening, because I think people are becoming more and more aware, and particularly if you're down, you know, in a beach area, the ticks are active. If you're in the woods, the ticks are active. I mean, probably the only place that you're safe from ticks, and I don't know if you're safe from there, if you're in a McDonald's parking lot. I mean, they want obviously all of us want to get out and enjoy the warm weather during the summer, but you you have worked on this. I mean, this is your, this is what you do for a living, and you have a website which we're going to direct people to, which is called tickease.com. We'll get into all of that. For any of you who have any questions about ticks, Lyme disease, this new problem, babesiosis, which is carried by the Lyme, the same tick that carries the Lyme disease. Nature is wonderful, but there's a lot about nature that can come back and haunt us. I won't answer questions, but Tick Man Dan will. And we'll also direct you, if you'd like to find some simple tips on how to avoid this. He's got a really good website. He also has, I think, the only device that can safely remove a tick once it has embedded itself in your skin or in the skin of your child or anyone in your family, the biggest mistake that people can do is sort of break off the head of the tick. That can cause real problems. We'll get into all of that, I promise, with Tick Man Dan. If you'd like to join the conversation, 617-254-1030, 888-929-1030, and then the other line that is available is 617. That one just filled up, so write that down for later, 617-931-1030. The lines that are open right now are the 617-254-1030. We'll get to phone calls as quickly as we possibly can, because I just think the questions from the audience are even more than the questions that I ask, because I think I know a little bit about it. Not a tenth of what Tick Man Dan knows about it, but I want you to be aware, and I want you to avoid any form of Lyme disease, because it is a very serious disease. It is a very debilitating disease, and it also has raised some serious questions, and I have a doctor down in Texas who has worked most of his life on this, who believes that a secondary impact of having Lyme disease are a lot of the neural diseases that people have later on in their life. I'll have Dr. Miller on sometime at some point in the future to discuss that. But let's talk about preventing tick disease and keeping our family safe this summer with Tick Man Dan here on Nightside. Join the conversation.
It's Nightside with Dan Ray on WBZ, Boston's News Radio.
My guest is Tick Man Dan. Real quickly, Dan, you've been involved in this for how many years now?
Well, my initial interest started about 25 years ago, and it really peaked maybe about 10 years ago. I got really, really involved with it and sort of obsessed with it.
And this has become your life's work, in all honesty.
Yes, I have a love-hate relationship with ticks unlike any other.
Yeah, no, I hear you. By the way, the doctor that I'm referring to in Texas is Dr. Alfred Miller, who's been a guest in this program. And have you ever interacted with Dr. Miller? Are you familiar with his work?
Yeah, a little bit. I have spoken with him upon your recommendation a number of years ago,
yeah.
But I also have seen him mentioned in some of the posts and other articles that have come across my desk. So
yeah,
he has a good reputation, and there's a small community, I wish it were bigger, of doctors that are really kind of getting under the surface of this whole Lyme thing and trying to really make some connections and make people aware of just how serious it can be.
Let's go to phone calls, and we'll continue with as many people tonight as possible. John in Dover. John, you're next on Nightside with Tick Man Dan. Your comment or question?
Hello.
It's John in Dover. You ready? If not, we'll move on.
Yes, hello.
Yeah, John, put John on hold for a second, Rob, okay, because he obviously doesn't understand what we're doing here. So we'll start off with Joe in Saugus. We'll come back to John in a moment. Joe in Saugus, I hope you're ready. Go ahead, Joe.
Hi, Dan and Dan.
Hi, Joe.
Right ahead, Joe.
I've probably been bit about 10 times by ticks because, you know, I'm a dog owner and I like to take them out in the woods. And they always say 24 hours, if you get them off, you're safe. One time, I knew it was on me for more than 24 hours, so I went to the doctor and got the 24-day amoxicillin.
I don't think Dr. Miller, who I deal with, thinks that is not a long enough treatment of amoxicillin to be.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because the life cycle of the tick, I believe, is longer than that. But I'll leave that for Dr. Miller some night. But go ahead. What's your question?
Well, so far, so good.
I also don't buy the 24-hour thing. Dan, do you buy the? I have never heard you can have the tick on you for 24 hours. I think you've been very lucky, to be honest with you, Joe. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah. Well, that's been a pretty common thing among some researchers. And by the way, Dan and Joe, I have been bitten, I'm estimating, about 225 times by deer ticks, only deer ticks, and all in this area of New England. So, you know, I don't know what I have in me, but to my knowledge, I have not contracted any tick-borne illness.
Yeah.
Now,
I think I was mostly bit by the dog ticks, the bigger ones.
Yeah, sure. Sure, they do represent their own problems, and they're not known in our area for carrying Lyme, more for carrying Rocky Mountain spotted fever, but it's extremely rare up here.
But come again to that 24-hour question. I think within 24 hours, you're going to have the tick enlarged with blood. Be pretty easy to see it hanging off you.
Yes, but unfortunately not everybody does, and it depends on what stage of life the tick is at. Nymphal ticks are extremely small, larval ticks even smaller. The nymphal ticks are capable of carrying the Lyme bacteria, and they can remain on your body for several days, up to a week sometimes, as well as the adult deer ticks. Oof. And you won't really even notice them if they're behind your knee, on the back of your neck, under your arms, and places like that. But let me address the 24-hour thing, and here's my take on it. Now, some scientists and researchers say that because of the way the bacteria lives and survives within the mid-gut of this tick, and it kind of rests in there while it's hanging out, because ticks sometimes won't eat for 8 months. I mean, they only eat three times. Female deer ticks will only eat three times in a two-year life cycle. So these bacteria have to stay alive within the tick and have to be ready to come out of the tick and infect you in order to propagate their infection or their lives. So what happens, what the thinking is that when a tick begins to feed, the warmth, the action, the processes that take place with the saliva and so forth kind of activate that bacteria. And it takes a while for that activation process to occur and for that bacteria to then migrate through the tick's body to the salivary glands and then into the host. So in that sense, and listen, I don't know if it's true or not. Some people think that tick bites can infect, the transmission rate is much quicker than 24 to 48 or even longer hours. So my feeling is, okay, so if a tick could possibly carry a virus, a parasite, and a bacteria like Lyme and can give you maybe 10 or 12 different diseases, so what if you're safe from Lyme? You know what I'm saying? Some of these other pathogens have varying transmission times. For example, the Powassan virus has been known to be transmitted within 15 minutes. And I tell you, I'd rather have Lyme than Powassan if it becomes systemic and neurologic, because about 10 to 15% of those patients will die. So just because you may be safe from Lyme, and I'm not saying I know for sure, but in that sense, just get that tick off as quickly as you can and as properly and safely as you can. So just don't think about it as only carrying Lyme. They carry a whole bunch of other things that can make you very sick as well.
Joe, you've been lucky. Joe, I'm up my break, so I got to run here, but please be careful. We'll continue with Tick Man Dan. And there's also at his website, tickease.com. Okay.
Thank you, Dan.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, Joe, what I'm telling you is check out tickease.com. There's a lot of more information on his website.
Excellent.
And there's also this device.
Maine State Game Wardens up at the Firebird Fair, and they spray permethrin on their clothes. They don't put it on their skin. They put it on their clothes.
Yeah, there's all sorts of suggestions. I'll let you go, Joe. Thanks very much. Joe was not interested in my suggestion. My suggestion is anyone that really wants to get some more information, go to Tick Man Dan's website, which is tickease.com. And there's a device that is sold there, which is very inexpensive, and it essentially is the safest and most effective way I have. This device that if you do have a tick on you, you want to extract it very carefully. And we'll talk about that as well. But I got to take a quick news break. The only line that is open right now is 617-931-1030. We're going to go back to John in Dover right after the break. John, I hope you're ready. Get ready. Coming back on Nightside.
It's Nightside with Dan Ray on WBZ, Boston's news radio.
My guest is Tick Man Dan. He has a website called tickease.com. Let's go to John in Dover. John, I hope you're ready. Are you there, sir?
Yes. Hello, Dan.
Hi, John. Welcome. This your first time calling?
Calling from Dover. Lived in Dover since 1962, and I believe you were part of the DS team for some years?
I was a coach out there. My kids, okay. We grew up out there, John. So, yeah, welcome. Sure. Tonight. Yep. I asked you, have you called the show before? Is this your first time?
I have called before.
Good. Okay. Well, we got you on the phone with Tick Man Dan. What's your experience?
My mom, she was in her late mid-80s of life at that point in time. So this would have been in about 2016-ish. Might have been 15, might have been 17. But, okay. She ended up getting bit by a tick. If a tick is just walking on you and you get it before it attaches itself, you're okay, right? I mean,
let's ask the expert. I think the answer to that is yes. Let's see what Tick Man Dan says to that question.
Yeah. A non-attached tick is not going to be any kind of threat or provide you with any risk, unless, of course, okay. You crush that tick and get some of the juice from that tick into an open wound or into your eye or mucous membrane. So, yeah, you're pretty safe. But, John, let me ask you a quick question. You in Dover, New Hampshire or Dover, Mass?
No, Dover, Mass. Dover, Mass.
Oh,
Dover,
okay. Dover. Yeah, I spent a lot of time there. That's actually where I've done a lot of research on ticks, and they have a good program there that helps manage the overpopulation of deer. They had a significant problem. You may be aware of that, and I think they've done a good job in reducing the deer population, which therefore will help with the tick numbers as well.
Okay, so just on that question, and I heard this mentioned before, deer tick, yes, deer have deer tick on. But how about all the mice or the, you know, the ground scurrying animals, squirrels or mice or this,
mice
that, and that thing?
Sure, mice do.
Is the spread more through the deer or is it more through the mice?
Well, that's a great question. And the rodents and the small rodents, particularly the white-footed mouse, is the biggest culprit when it comes to infection transmission. Okay. from the bacteria from the mouse to the tick. So let me give you a little picture here. You have a what's known as a clean mouse, let's say, meaning it's free from the Lyme bacteria. You have a tick that has the Lyme bacteria in it. The tick bites the mouse. The mouse becomes now what we call a competent host. It's carrying the Lyme bacteria and will do so probably for life. So now you have a mouse and a tick that are both infected. And then what happens is you have a clean tick, for example, that may bite this now infected mouse. Now that
now it's transmitted.
Yeah, so it's like ping pong. A friend of mine down in the Cape says it's like biologic ping pong, this occurrence. The thing about the deer is they are what's known as incompetent hosts. So the bacteria doesn't survive within the deer. So the deer don't get sick, and they don't infect ticks with the bacteria. What they do is they provide a nourishing last meal mostly for these adult deer, female deer ticks that will feed, drop off, and lay about 3,000 eggs. And what really helps the deer ticks spread is the fact that these deer can be in your backyard in Dover tonight, maybe drop 4 or 5 fully fed pregnant females, and tomorrow night they're in Medfield dropping 4 or 5 fully fed female deer ticks, and now you have 15,000 eggs in your yard and 15,000 eggs over in Medfield, and that cycle can continue. And imagine what it does when you have 10 deer in a group, you know, dropping these ticks and then spreading. And then other ticks from other deer from other areas come in, pick up the ticks, and the cycle starts all over again. And then this is how we have widespread infections and widespread tick problems. So that's the role the deer play.
No doubt. Let me just add in one other little piece. So in 2015, my mom ended up getting bit by a tick. And it had been on her for a bit, but she ended up getting it. But she was feeling very tired, and then it was more and more and more. She was later on, like, she was up at my sister's house in Maine. That I'm elongating the story, but
yeah, do me a favor, John. I'm going to ask you, for the purposes of radio, I'd like you to shorten the story. Go ahead.
She had babesiosis.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. No, well, it's been around. And yeah, we should talk about that, Dan, as well. It's been around. It's just becoming more common. And the media is just all over that over the past week because we're getting results of studies and other things. But it for some people in a risk category, it can be very, very, very serious.
Very dangerous. And, thank you, John. I got to run. I got to keep going. I got packed lines. Okay. Thanks, John. Talk to you soon. Well, let me go next to Donna in Northborough. Donna, you are next on Nightside with Tickman Dan. Go right ahead, Donna.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
We can hear you just fine. What's your comment or question? Go right ahead,
Donna. Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much for being and talking about this subject. My son had Lyme disease, so I did a lot of research very similar to Tickman Dan. And one of the things I was curious about when I was doing my research, somebody told me about this woman, I think it was in Connecticut. She was diagnosed with schizophrenia, and she was institutionalized for a decade or more. And then they found out about the potential for her having Lyme disease, so they put her on the low-dose doxycycline long-term, and she recovered. Was that something that you're familiar with?
Well, I'm not familiar with that particular specific story, but I have heard stories similar to that, where the Lyme bacteria can become neurologic and then manifest itself in a lot of different ways, which resemble a lot of different ailments, including schizophrenia, including Alzheimer's, including MS, and so forth. I think you might want to check out Chris Christopherson's story, where I think he was essentially cured of his Alzheimer's because it wasn't Alzheimer's, it was Lyme. So the problem is that they call Lyme the great imitator, meaning it can manifest itself in many, many different forms that are confusing, and that's why the medical community has such a hard time with this, because there's no real good diagnostic tool, no good testing yet. They're working
again,
on that.
I want to mention Dr. Alfred Miller again out of San Antonio. He is convinced that many of the horrific diseases that people are impacted by, things like multiple sclerosis and ALS, he believes, have their genesis in a tick bite. And I will have him on in the next couple of weeks, Donna, and talk about...
Well, Dan, there's no doubt that patients with some of these ailments, if they do come in contact with a Lyme bacteria, it's only going to make things terribly worse. I agree with that 100%, but I'm not a scientist in that sense.
Right, no, Dr. Miller has mentioned that, you know, Lyme, Connecticut, probably the most famous ALS patient in history was Lou Gehrig. And Gehrig apparently had a summer place in Lyme, Connecticut. Now, that goes back to the late 1930s. But Dr. Miller is very convinced of this, and he's done a lot of scientific research. But we'll save that for another night. Hey, Donna, thank you so much for your call. I hope your son is doing well.
He is doing better. Thank you so much for having everybody on. Take care. Stay with us
because we'll have Dr. Alfred Miller on sometime in the next couple of weeks as well. And as they say, what Tickman Dan is excellent, okay? But he's, and I want to have people go to his website, tickease.com.
Oh, I have
because
it.
There are things that you can do to help yourself. And there's a lot of information there as well, which is all available just for the reading.
Yeah.
But we'll have Dr. Miller on as well.
And I'm looking, forward to seeing. And I like your tickies. It's awesome. Thank you.
Oh, thanks, Donna.
Okay. Thanks, Donna. We'll take a break. It's an 8:45. my guest, Tick Man Dan. We will get everyone in, Al, Alex, Tom, and Ed, and we'll even get a couple more calls in. And if we have to go into the second hour on this one, I'm prepared to. With you, maybe we can if the phone calls persist, because I think this is such an important subject, maybe we can convince Tick Man Dan to stay a little bit into the 9 o'clock hour as well. But that will be determined by the callers. We'll be back because you folks decide how long we go with topics here on Nightside. That you're part of the show, whether you realize it or not, coming back on Nightside with Tick Man Dan.
You're on Nightside with Dan Ray on WBZ, Boston's News Radio.
Back to the phones we go. We're going to go to Ed in Bridgewater. Ed, appreciate your patience. You're next on Nightside.
Hello?
Ed, welcome to Nightside, sir. You are on the air. Go right ahead.
Good evening, Dan.
It's a strong start, Ed. Go ahead.
Yeah. Two things. One, I live on the South Shore. There used to be a gentleman, and I won't mention a name. He used to write an article in the local paper talking about deer ticks. He went out hunting with a friend, came back. They were covered with ticks, put them on top of dry ice. When the dry ice was evaporated, the deer ticks were gone.
That's interesting, because dry ice releases carbon dioxide, which is what ticks are attracted to. Now, the temperatures might have, because they're cold, that might have, scared off the ticks. But, that would be unusual as far as I'm concerned, because as a matter of fact, when they try to trap ticks, they will use dry ice as an attractant.
Well, they were he put them on top, and they were talking about having quite a bit because they were out hunting for the day.
Mm-hmm.
And there weren't any left on the deck.
What do you think is the practical application of that experiment, Ed?
I don't know. I just remember that and thinking that, I ended up getting a deer tick on myself because I work outside every day. I got one in the middle of February when it was very cold. So, they have no boundaries.
Tick Man Dan mentioned that earlier in the program that they're around, they maybe at one point were around just in the summertime or the late spring, summertime, and early fall, but they've expanded their time of accessibility to us humans.
Yeah, well, they actually manufacture a substance within their bodies, the ticks do, called glycerol. This is like an antifreeze for their cells, and it keeps their cells from freezing under the harshest of conditions. And then, another thing about that glycerol, which is crazy, is that when the ticks produce it, it's a food source to keep the bacteria alive. The bacteria actually eat it. So it serves two purposes, keep the tick alive and keep the bacteria alive. So it's a pretty nasty little thing, but highly evolved as far as I'm concerned and very fascinating.
Well, I know that they say that there's a purpose for everything, but I haven't figured out the purpose for ticks. That's
not at all.
Mosquitoes.
And the other thing I'll ask is, have you done any research on the Lone Star?
Yeah, well, I've tried to educate myself as much as possible on this Lone Star tick. And, Dan, that's another one we got to talk about at some point, because they're spreading like wildfire. And they cause something called alpha-gal syndrome, which is an allergy to red meat. I think we discussed it last year, but it's becoming more and more prolific, and they're pretty aggressive little critters.
Wow.
That's all I had to say tonight.
All right, Ed. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ed.
Good dry ice stuff is interesting. Appreciate it. Have a great night. Let me go to Alex in Millis. That's another area where there probably is a lot of ticks. Alex, next on Nightside with Tick Man Dan. Go ahead, Alex.
Hi, Dan. I wanted to ask, do you think, are ticks attracted to all body, all types of people, meaning that, humans have a certain scent. So what attracts, some people, are they immune from getting bitten, whether they're, on the overweight side or whether they're thin built? And the other question is...
Well, let's take them one at a time, Alex, okay? I don't know that there's ever been a study done on that, but... Well, I never thought of that.
Well, informally, studies, I've noticed that sometimes when I'm out in the woods and I'm with two or three other people, for some reason, they're all over me. And some people just, they don't seem to get ticks on them as much.
Well, you could be a good-looking guy, Dan, and that could be the attraction. You know what I'm saying?
I'm a tick magnet. What can I
say? You got pink blood or something, no. Because my wife says, you know, mosquitoes bite her. You know, I don't know if they're attracted to females versus males. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's an interesting. What's the other question, Alex? Maybe we can give us some clarity on the second one.
I know this is like a home remedy. Can something like a camphor or Vicks, you know, if you apply it on you, would it repel them rather than using an insecticide?
Well, there's a plethora of things that you can apply to your skin that some people will believe is offensive to ticks. But ticks don't breathe like regular insects or other bugs. They breathe through their abdomens, and they might take a breath three or four times an hour sometimes. So they can resist things like DEET, and they're slow moving. And, you know, I'll use the DEET, for example. People put it on their legs. Ticks won't like it, but they'll not necessarily drop off. Like a mosquito can fly in, land on it, and go, crap, I don't like this. I'm out of here, and be gone. Ticks will kind of mosey around, and they'll search for an area that doesn't have DEET on it. And I don't know anybody that soaks their private areas with DEET. So that's a good place for the ticks to kind of migrate to.
Oh, as Tick Man Dan says, they're crevices. Thanks, Alex. Great question. You got to turn that radio down. I don't know what's going on in the background there, but you got a lot of activity
going on. My wife's watching international cable, so
it's always good to multitask when you're calling Nightside. Thanks, Alex. I appreciate it. Tom in Lancaster. Tom, how are you tonight? Keep us going here, Tom.
Hey, Dan. How you doing?
Good, sir. You're on with Tick Man Dan. Go ahead.
Oh, hi, Dan and Dan. My story is how when I first bought my house in Central Mass, which was in Sterling at the time, I wasn't living there full time yet. So I came up to visit for a couple of days, and I go back to Brooklyn, New York one night, and I start getting an achy neck. So I'm thinking I'm coming down with a cold, and the next morning I get up for work, and it's much worse. So I'm in the bathroom, you know, grabbing my neck and looking in the mirror. And then I realize I see this tiny little speck on the front of my neck that I'm thinking, you know, what is that? So I get my phone and I take a selfie of it. And then when I zoom in, I realize it's a tick. I took this thing all the way back home to New York and slept with it overnight. And it's still on my neck the next day.
Well,
now I got to go to work.
Right.
Now I got to go to work. So I figured, you know, it's probably too late already. If I'm infected, I'm infected. So I'll go to work and I'll just see if my coworker could pull it off.
Okay. I wouldn't recommend giving a tick that's attached any more time than you possibly can without trying to remove it.
I couldn't get it off. I couldn't get it off.
So give us, Tom, I hate to push here, but it's almost 9 o'clock. Give us the end of the story.
Yeah.
Did you get it off and did you come down with something?
I did one of the things that they don't recommend, and I tried to smother it in Bacitracin. Get itself in my neck sideways.
Great.
And that makes it very difficult to pull out.
How long were you hospitalized? Just give us the end of the story.
Luckily, that didn't happen, so I must be like the other caller that's immune, you know?
Yeah, good for you. Good for you. Tom, I'm up on my break.
The bottom line is, I guess, if you live in these wooded areas, Dan must recommend that. You got to make sure you do a body inspection every night before you go to bed.
Absolutely.
Take a nice shower.
Right, and if you live in Brooklyn, maybe you're safer. I don't know. Hey, Tom, I'm up on my break, so I got to let you go. Thanks, my friend.
Tom, real quick, throw your clothes in a hot dryer when you come in from outdoors. That'll kill the stragglers. Do a thorough body check and remove that tick as quickly as you can and as properly as you can.
Let's do this, Tick Man Dan. I don't want to shortchange you here. Let's hang on for a couple more callers into the next hour. 617-254-1030, 888-929-1030, 617-931-1030. Got about a 5 or 6 minute break. You can walk around. We'll be back at about 5 after, 6 after, 9 o'clock. But Tick Man Dan, keep the calls coming in.